हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Ocean, Second Wave, Chapter 37, Verse 85. O Daruka, so this is about Sneha. O Daruka, seeing Krishna, your heart used to turn liquid on the pretext of your gushing tears. Now in separation from Krishna, it is not astonishing that you, Daruka, have become like a doll made out of wood. Daru Kalpata, out of the extreme loss of consciousness. Srila Prabhupada. One devotee told Daruka, the servant of Krishna, My dear Daruka, when you become like wood because of your separation from Krishna, it is not so wonderful. Whenever any devotee sees Krishna, his eyes become filled with water, and in separation, any devotee like you would become stunned, standing just like a wooden doll. That is not a very wonderful thing. So when they're meaning this, they're just meaning that it's standard. That's the meaning here. That it's not wonderful in that it's a standard thing. So then in that way it's an indirect praise of the person because they are of standard. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes. The specific quality of sneha is the soft, the heart becomes very soft because of which there is always tears flowing from the eyes.
Okay.
So, this level we always see that.
Yeah, so it's a standard thing, but the point is he praising him because he's on that standard. You know, it's like that. You know, sometimes they use that. That kind of indirect, like poetic negative. They glorify something in the negative. Mm-hmm. Another example. On seeing Krishna, Uddhava offered a gift in the form of the best river of tears, and his voice choked when he began to recite prayers using sweet, attractive words and sweet tone. His body erupted in goosebumps. Becoming completely stunned, he radiated superiority over all other devotees. Srila Prabhupada. There's a statement about Uddhava's symptoms of love. When he saw Lord Krishna, his eyes filled with tears and created a river which flowed down towards the sea of Krishna, to offer tribute, as a wife offers tribute to his husband. When his body erupted with goosebump pimples, he appeared like the Kadamba flower, and when he began to offer prayers, he appeared completely distinct from all other devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami. Uddhava possessed an extremely sweet tone in his voice generated from his affection, Rajyam. His words were sweet and attractive by nature, Manjula Kanta. However, the order of syllables became disarranged. Luhita within the throat. Kanta Garbha. So even though everything's very nice the way he said it, it gets out of order and stuff. 3287. Raga. That sneha which turns sorrow into happiness by a slight appearance of Krishna is called raga. In this state of raga, the devotee will do anything for the pleasure of Krishna, even giving up his life. Srila Jiva Goswami. Sneha becomes rag. How does it so? When sneha causes sorrow to become happiness just by a moment's association with Krishna, either through his direct presence, through internal manifestation, or by a show of mercy, it is called rag. In that state, he will do anything, even giving up his life, for pleasing the Lord. But without that relation to Krishna, any happiness becomes sorrow. That is the nature of sneha. 3-88. Though extremely terrified by the snake Takshaka, Parikshit, son of Uttara, giving up his great kingdom and undertaking the extreme vow of fasting till death, became almost blissful through drinking the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada, when affection is symptomized by direct happiness and distress, it is called attraction. In such an attracted state of ecstatic love, one can face all kinds of disadvantages calmly. Even at the risk of death, such a devotee is never bereft of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Glorik's example of this ecstatic love was exhibited by King Parikshit when he was at the point of death. Although he is bereft of his entire kingdom, which spread all over the world, and although he was accepting not even a drop of water in the 7 days remaining to him, because he was engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from Sukadeva Goswami, he was not in the least distressed. On the contrary, feeling direct transcendental ecstatic joy in association with Sukadeva Goswami. So it's just that whatever, even as a distressful condition in rag, then everything is going very pleasant. It's just so that, you know, you're thinking of Krishna or with Krishna or something, some connection. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this example, Parikshit derived the greatest bliss simply by Krishna's appearance through hearing his pastimes. How much more bliss would be then by Krishna's direct appearance? Prajna means great. Prayacharya means a vow of fasting until death. Autareyasya means the son of Uttara, Parikshit. This example also shows that without the relationship with Krishna, though hearing his pastimes, there would be complete misery. Right? So because you have that relationship, then even though there's misery, it just disappears. That's the symptom of rag. Well, if you don't have that relation with Krishna, you have these miserable situations, you might still be miserable. Does that make sense?
In this sense, the relationship means sai bhav.
From the previous, it means it can either mean the sai bhav or it can be, because he says that is the nature of sneha before, that on the platform of sneha, that even this connection, if there's something sorrowful, it may still be sorrowful. Mm-hmm. But then if the rag, then it brings to the point that just that contact, that you're happy, even though it's a difficult situation. So it appears that in rag, there's no feeling of sorrow, but it can be felt in sneha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let's say like Mother Jashoda coming in the Kali a serpent, then that might have been an aspect of sneha, because she's feeling that. But like Balaram, you know, is not. He's fine, you know. So that would be that, because that attachment. So that rag is also a knowledge of what's happening.
Yes. What about Queen Kunti?
Yeah, she's saying that you know, these calamities just make us think of you, and then by thinking of you, then it goes away. So that attachment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we say that at least what I thought always that devotees, they are usually on one specific level.
No. This is a movement of levels. Mm-hmm. See, basically what it's pointing out, what's the height you can get to in each raga. And so, I mean, in each of the ratis, what they come up to, and so therefore, what is the taste that will be there? Mm-hmm. So then, it appears that the shanta, you know, specifically they're functioning within the platform of rati. But I'm not sure, at one point it didn't mention something about prema, but
yes.
Yeah, so they'll just be rati and prema. It seems to be they're generally situated in rati, though occasionally the intensity goes up to prema. But the point is, it's within the realm of priti. So it is in the realm of love of God. It just doesn't have the intention because of the knowledge of Krishna and all that. And that being the prominence, and that no sense of possession. So it doesn't take it to that intensity, though it comes up to prema. Then, when you have dasya, then, you know, rati is always there. Because that's the point, is rati is there and it gets to prema. So in all the others, then rati is always there, functioning prema, but we see in dasya that it could go to sneha, rag. That's all the farther it'll go up. You know, and then it'll be, you know, cowherd boys, it'll have a certain amount. And it also depends on it, because there's four kinds of cowherd boys. Mm-hmm. Those younger, those older, those equals, and those confidential. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some. So the older would reflect a bit of what the parental would be. The younger would reflect a bit of what the servitorship. The equals would be whatever's the just the natural for that. Rasa, the confidential, it would reflect a bit of the conjugal. Not that they have that relationship, but they're involved in it. So the ecstasy of the gopis and that relationship between Krishna and the gopis, they'll be able to taste that level of Mahabhav. So they can taste Mahabhav, and they're just cowherd boys because they're confidential. So they're involved in those pastimes. But let's say the queens at Dwarka, because of the Swakya, they never get above Anubhava, which is...
Anurag.
That's the one just below Mahabhav.
Yes.
Yes, they get up to that point. You know, and that's at the best. What we see is the conjugal rasa Vrindavan, Mahabhav's the minimum. Then you have the higher, if it's Krishna Radharani's group and then Radharani yourself. So those cowherd boys, they can teach the Mahabhav of the general gopis. They won't taste it at the level of Radharani's associates. Even though they're connected with Krishna and Radharani. Because you never hear a cowherd boys connected not with Radharani. You know, you never hear a cowherd boys hanging out, you know, with others.
Subal.
Yes, Subal, but I'm just saying you don't hear of him if he's hanging out with other gopis other than Radharani. It's always you hear about the cowherd pastimes, the cowherd boys, in the context of Radharani's group. You know, there might be, but, you know, we're not hearing about. Worried about hearing about them. So, yeah. So that's what's happening. So within that framework, it can move around. It's just a matter of which taste is coming up. So they have that aspect, whatever's the top it is, but of these others are flavors within. Does that make sense? You know, so they all add to the, you know, like you have a meal, it has all the different flavors and all that. So they all have their position.
Also, the Radha is defined as an intense attachment towards the Lord. So after the stage of Prema, Prema is like having the possessiveness, then Sneha is, because they are like so much absorbed in the Lord, the heart becomes so soft and they are always remembering and all. And then the Raga stage is, then they attain the stage of intense attachment where even a moment of remembrance will give like that special bliss.
Yeah. So it appears that you can still experience sorrowful, you know, how you say, vyabhicharis and all that in sneha. You know, so prema, and that you can, you know, anything below that. But it seems that at rag, then that goes away, just that Krishna's there. So that would be why, let's say, the Krishna comes, and so then because of their attachment to Krishna, naturally they're happy. But then, because of the feminine nature, they have to show they're unhappy. So you'll see is the movement of their prema, you'll see, will be have a uniqueness that the others won't. You know, so even though internally, like it says, Krishna comes up and touches Radharani, or that, she's saying, no, get out of here, and that, she's fainting like that. But inside, she's in ecstasy. So it means that raga, that attachment is there. But it's shown as if it's something lower. It's just the taste. That's the whole thing. Because if it's always on that one level, that becomes a standard. So it always has to be pushed to something else than back. You know, it's just like now. People are home 24/7. And for those who, you know, are trained and know how to deal, it works very nicely. Right? But those who don't, they're going nuts. You know, because the relationship works because they go and they come, they go and they come. Like that. So makes sense. Or if it is working nicely, but it'll have a basic flavor. You know. So to change that, then the man's not going to change that because, you know, it's okay, you know. Like that. So the woman will have to create an argument or something wrong out of nothing. You know, it's like the hat trick, you know, you pull a rabbit out of the hat, you know, or something. There's nothing there, but you create something. And then it'll drop to something, and then by the proper dealings, because the dealings are proper, they go on, then it'll come back, and then now there's a taste again. It's new, it's fresh. So in the spiritual world, it's all done, you know, all connected to Krishna. Here it's just, it's the natural mechanics, just how it has to work. that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, in 2 months after the lockdown in China, all the matrimonial agencies went bankrupt to start with, and second, divorce just went through the roof. And of course, people said, I don't know who you are, you're never home. What are you doing in my life?
Yeah. But then look at the bright side, because so many, I mean, this is of course according to the rumors that so many people have died in China that they don't talk about, so it's so many empty apartments. Yeah. That means now if they separate, there's plenty of space for everybody. You know, and maybe they're quite cheap now, the apartments also.
They
so.
Yeah.
Yes.
In infected areas.
Oh, in infected areas, yeah. Okay. 3289. Does that make sense? So they move through these different tastes and flavors and the ecstasies that come up from them, and with each one of them, then there's certain natural symptoms that will be there. And so, does that make sense? Because we're going through the ingredient causes, you know, the ingredients that are there. So, seeing generically, then we're starting to see them in the context of particular rasas, and then within that it'll be the particular situations and, you know, what's being tasted, therefore naturally certain things go with it. Like you hear with, like you said, sneha, there's always that tears, you know, and then with the raga, there's always that, you know, that inspiration and all that kind of aspect. Right? So especially then in dasya, then there, because we saw is that the physical and all those aren't as strong, and so then they tend to, you know, be more of those moods and that, and they tend more towards the positive than the negative. And, you know, if there's separation, then maybe the negative. As soon as Krishna's there, then that's when they do service to them. Another example. If Keshava shows even a little mercy to me, the Vaidhava fire will be like a sweet drink. If he does not show me mercy, even Dwarka, full of wealth and power, will be like a piece of grassy earth. Because outside and inside are the same. Did you feel hot?
No.
Because otherwise we can turn it down.
No. What's the
thing that
it's dropping?
Oh, that depends on how much it's working. No. Okay, so you're asking if it's sneha.
Yeah. And then he can get the extra.
Yes. That's like the drops flowing towards the towards the sea of his ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada, one devotee was confidentially expressing his opinion. If a drop of Lord Krishna's mercy can be bestowed to me, then I shall feel completely carefree, even in the midst of a fire and ocean. But if I become bereft of his causeless mercy, then even if I became the king of Dwarka, I would be simply an object for pinpricks. So the external situation is not, if you're absorbed in Krishna, it's not what affects the person. It's not that, oh, because it's Dwarka and all that, oh, because you have a nice situation, that's why you can be Krishna conscious and it's so comfortable for you and all that. No. A nice situation, if there's no Krishna, it's just a disturbance. And a disturbing situation, if you have Krishna, then it's nice. So that makes sense. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse shows results from attaining and not attaining mercy. Sardhava means a type of sweet drink. Kusha Stali means Dwarka, but also means a place covered with kusa grass. They call it Kusha Stali, just turns into, you know, meaning the place of Dwarka, the pastime, just turns into Kusha Stali, just being a place, a field of kusa grass. So that's why it also comes nicely, it just says it's just like a piece of grassy earth. So it just means Dwarka now just becomes, you know, it's pure, but so it's not the external situations, it's the absorption in Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna.
Just to get back one step, the devotee is not disturbed because he's Krishna conscious, whether he has a good facility or not a good facility.
Yes, yes.
But at the same time, for Krishna, for spreading Krishna consciousness, you will endeavor to have a good facility.
Of course.
And therefore you'll be in anxiety about having that good facility, and you can even be disturbed about, you know, we don't have the facilities, we need this, we need this, we need this.
Yes, yes. What's the confusion?
So, the
person... Because it's for Krishna, but here it's about, you know, it can be, it's a nice place, but it's empty. If Krishna's not there, then what's the point of Dwarka? That's the point. And if Krishna's, and if you have a mercy, drop of mercy of Krishna, even if you're in a terrible situation, like in the midst of a fire in the ocean, then you don't have any problem. Because there's the anxiety, but that anxiety is connected to Krishna. So,
what about if somebody is not, doesn't have good facility and is struggling and says, well, you know, it's Krishna's mercy, what can I do? There could be a mentality of, you know, I don't really care.
That's there, but it's also, what can I do, is because we have to understand ultimately we're not the doers. So it is a balance. Because otherwise then you see if one maintains that thing, if I'm the doer and I'm the one making it happen, then if things change, you know, like you get older and younger people come up, you won't let them do the work. You know, it's like a natural thing in the West. When does the king's son become the king? Only when he dies. In the Vedic, they would leave early and stuff like that. They just can't, because they can't give up doing something. They can't. The idea that it's up to Krishna, and I'm just absorbed in him. Therefore, you know, the preaching and this and that. So you're always doing your best. But you have to know is that Krishna is the results come from Krishna. That's the point. Never think that your work causes the results.
Mm.
You have a right to do your duty, but never think that the results are coming from you, and never be attached to those results, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So that gives the balance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do your duty. You can't be attached to not doing it. But never think because you've done it, it's your results, so therefore that attachment.
Mm.
You've caused the results. So you have to get that balance, is that, you know, any of these things that are, there's pure devotional service, so that's what you're trying to affect. And if someone's not acting on that platform, then, you know, you have to address accordingly. That's why seemingly sometimes it appears that there's contradictory instructions. Because he's telling one person, you know, don't worry about it, you're doing, you know, you do your best and that's it. And another person is saying, no, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you putting in the effort? So it just depends upon the mentality. Someone's trying very hard to get the results, then, you know, don't worry, you continue, and the results are up to Krishna. Someone else who thinks that they're doing a great job and all that, then it's a matter of, no, don't think you're the cause of the results. So that's why you see is that any one point, Prabhupada's instruction of the drunks and the acharyas, seems contradictory. But it's not, because it's talking about the mentality, the spirit. The spirit's right, then everything goes nice. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it's about the attitude. And if that's correct, then all these things work. But the point is, you're in anxiety about that, but it's not a personal anxiety. It's an anxiety connected to Krishna. And so to do that service, to try to improve, they can do that in any environment. So even if the environment's not great, it's still in that environment they're trying to improve it. It's not that, oh no, only if you have all this facility. Like before, devotee would go out, leave the temple, and go to a new place that nobody's there. And they might have a contact, or they might have been from there, so they might know a few people, or they might know nobody. So they'll just go, and they know, like, let's say, you know, the Prabhupada's times, they know where the hippies hang out. So they'll go down to one of those, you know, hippie tea shops and this and that, and start preaching and this and that, and then from there get a place to stay, and then start, you know, doing some preaching, and slowly they get it together, then they either someone gives them a place or they rent a place, and then within 6 months they have a temple. Like that. So determination or focus that they can go into that environment. So it's not that, oh, here's so much money and yes, here's a place, go there, do all these different things. No, you just go there and start something. So that's the thing. It's not dependent upon the facility. Otherwise, we see there's places that have facility, but there's not necessarily much going on. Mm-hmm. Well, some places you just have this little, you know, some little house with a bunch of, you know, devotees in it that no facility, but so much is going on. So it's just, it's all in the mentality. So.
Yeah.
Three two 1991. The Sambrahma Priti manifests as Premi in the Adikritas and Ashritas. In the Parishads, it manifests as Sneha. And in Parikat, Daruka, and Uddhava, Parishads, it manifests as Raga. Raga also manifests in the Anugas. When Raga appears in many Anugas and Vrajas, such as Raktak, the Dasi Bhava becomes mixed with Sakya. Yeah, so if so many of them are getting this flavor of Raga, then it kind of has the flavor of Sakya. It doesn't become quite as formal and everything like that. It's just, you know, one person experience, they'll say, but if the whole bunch of them are there, it means, in other words, the Parishads are there and the Anugas are there. And so if Raga becomes the major thing, so then even in these Anugas, it starts to take on that Sakya kind of aspect. And then when that goes down, it will go back into its own. So it's just because it's on the edge. So in other words, the Raga is on that edge of that. So here also he says, depending upon what they are, so those who are that taking shelter, that knowledge, and all, they've come up to prema. Adikritas, the demigods, that may have that aspect of prema.
Mm.
But then for the Parishads and the Anugas, then it can go to Sneha. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse describes the condition of the Adikrita, Ashritas, Parishads, and Anugas. Generally, the Adikritas and Ashritas manifest prema, and the Parishadas in Dwarka manifest sneha. The word generally is used because the inhabitants of Dwarka, Daruka and Uddhava, also have a touch of raga in the following example. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless as if bereft of sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:11-9. Pratika Saraga is illustrated as follows. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:1-13. Daruka Saraga is expressed as follows. Just as on a moonless night, people are merged into darkness and cannot find their way, now that I have lost sight of your lotus feet, my Lord, I have lost my vision and am wandering blindly in darkness. I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:30-43. Uddhava's raga is illustrated as follows. Greatly fearing separation from him, whom he felt such indestructible affection, Uddhava was distraught, and he could not give up the Lord's company. Finally, feeling great pain, he bowed down to the Lord again and again, placed the slippers of his master on his head, and departed. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-46. What is implied here also is that the ordinary Anugas generally have raga as well. However, some unique features are then mentioned among some special Anugas. Generally among the Anugas of Braja, the Priti Stai Bhava will have raga, asmin, manifested, abhyudite, with a little shaka, sakya rati as well. And so that aspect of the samprama rati then for the first two, the devatas or those surrendered souls, and that prema will be the main position that they're situated at. All you see is then the Parishads, the main position will be. It seems to be Sneha, like that. But a few individuals then, means they may be occasionally go up to there, But you see, is that these particular individuals, Uddhava, Daruka, and Prigit, then you see that's quite a, you know, it's not an uncommon position for them. And then the Anugas that are associating, especially in Braj, then it may take on that raga also and have that touch of Sakya.
So, can we say that Yugai Tamni Mishana, that verse, describes this level of
raga?
Sneha and raga.
As it goes, you have first verse is general,
yeah,
like that. Second verse is then anartha nivriti. Third will be nishta. Then fourth will be ruchi, you know, because anadhamma jana, I don't have any taste, means I have no material, that means that it's spiritual. Then what's it? So that'll be asakti. Then the one after that, that will be how you say bhava. Then after that, that I understand it just goes into how you say being with Krishna, and then being the separation from Krishna. It doesn't necessarily give the
details.
Details beyond that. So in other words, it'll be prema, you know, but it's just there's prema in separation and prema in sambo. So we see is that those first five are then this and the sadhakas, and then the last three that's for the Utmas.
Yeah.
3.2.92. An example. Seeing the Lord coming out of the inner chambers, Uddhava's eyes became filled with tears and his voice choked up. Closing his eyes slightly, he embraced the Lord in his heart. Srila Jiva Goswami. Uddhava has given us an example. Though pranaya is possible in some of the anugas and praja, Uddhava also is famous for possessing a portion of pranaya. Footnote 25. Pranaya is defined as friendship with absence of reverence. This appears in the sakas. This is illustrated in the following verse. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. Sudha not means from the inner chambers. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Embracing the Lord is a sign of Sakya, friendship. So there's that element, so then that little bit comes in. It's a touch, but you won't see it. It's there, it's just on the border. Like that. So that's why he said Uddhava's the highest in Dwarka. Like that, because he comes up to that level, the most prominent. 3.2.93. Priti Ras has two types. Priti Ras is which?
Dasi.
Still Dasi, okay. Two types, Ayoga, separation, and Yoga, meeting. 3.2.94.95. Lack of association with the Lord is called Ayoga, separation. In this state, the Anubhavas are concentrated on the Lord within the heart, reviewing his qualities and thinking of means of attaining his association. There are two types of ayogya: utkantitam, longing before ever meeting the Lord, and viyoga, separation after meeting. 3.2.96. The desire to see the Lord when the devotee has not seen him at all is called utkantitam. Srila Prabhupada. Devotees such as Maharaj Prigit and Uddhava are well situated in ecstatic attraction on the basis of affection. And in that state of affection, a feeling of friendship becomes manifest. When Uddhava was freed from all material contamination, he saw the Lord and his throat became choked up and he could not speak. By the movements of his eyebrows alone, he was embracing the Lord. Such ecstatic love has been divided by great scholars into two groups, addition and subtraction. The devotee is not directly associated with the Lord, it's called subtraction. In this state of love, one is constantly fixed with his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotee in this state becomes very eager to learn of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The most important business of such a devotee is attaining the association of the Lord. 3297. An example of longing before meeting from the Srimad Purana. King Ikshvaku, because of his extreme attachment to the Lord, developed great rati for the black cloud because of its color. The Krishna Sara deer, because of its name, and the lotus which was in Krishna's eyes. 3-98. Another example of longing before meeting Utkantam from the 10th canto. I'm going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who by his own sweet will has now assumed a human-like form in relieving the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.10. Srila Prabhupada. And then from Srimad Purana, there's a statement about King Ikshvaku, which illustrates the state of ecstatic love. Because of his great affection for Krishna, King Ikshvaku became greatly attached to the black crown, the black deer, the deer's black eyes, and the lotus flower, which is always compared to the eyes of the Lord. In the 10th canto, 38th chapter, verse 10 of the Bhagavatam, Akura thinks, since the Lord has now appeared to diminish the great burden of the world, and is now visible to everyone's eyes in his personal transcendental body, when we see him before us, is that not the ultimate perfection of our eyes? In other words, Akura realized the perfection of the eyes is fulfilled when one is able to see Lord Krishna. Therefore, when Lord Krishna was visible on the earth by direct appearance, everyone who saw him surely attained perfection of sight. 3299. Though it is possible for all the Vyabhichari Bhavas to appear in Ayoga, Utkantitam, within Priti Bhakti Rasa, Outsukya, impatience, dainyam, thinking oneself unqualified, Nirveda, self-disgust, Chinta, pondering, Chapalata, insolence, Jarata, indecision, Unmada, insanity, and Moha, loss of internal wellness, are most common. And so when it says all of the Vyabhicharis, it means all the ones that appear in there. So I think it's 24. So any of them could appear. But you'll generally see is in this Utkantitam, is generally these specific ones. So that means that so 1 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So these 8 specifically appear. They're most common. So this Utkanti is that attachment before one seeing Krishna. Right? So we discuss it a lot. You know, when the gopis, it's the purva rag, a complete attachment before they see. So it's the same principle is there. You know, all, the same principle is that's there on all the levels. It goes all the way down. So depending on where you want to introduce or how you want to discuss it, it can be discussed at any level. So we can introduce it here, though it may have a difference in how it manifests. Yes.
What kind of thing are you always the same?
Which one?
Utkantita in Ayoga.
Ayoga simply means that you're not with Krishna, separation. But there's separation where you haven't actually met him yet, and there's separation after you've met him. So Utkantita and Viyoga. Mm-hmm. Means Viyoga means you're not connected, that you have been connected. Like that.
So Purvarag, it's only applicable in Madhur Jaras, that term, is that right?
From what I've seen, like that. But the principle of this Utkantitam then seems to be in these others also. It means the principle's there all the way down, because conjugal rasa being the Adi Rasa, then the principles of that will be throughout everything. It's just a matter of how much of it, or to what degree, or anything like that. So because it lessens, it takes on a different flavor. You know, it's just like, let's say, let's say we have, you know, one of these Indian chops, right? So in that, it's kind of like everything's in there. You know, you have the that salty fried item or something like that, and you have the chutneys and the yogurts and the little you know, the what do you call it? those little squiggly noodles, you know, the crunchy ones. And
the tamarind.
Yeah, the tamarind. All these different things they'll have. It's just in the chop. But now let's say we just take a samosa and chutney, you know, just the tamarind chutney. There's no yogurt. There's no these other things like that. So it's not a chop. It'll just be a snack.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you could have the samosa without the chutney, and, you know, it works. So there's a taste. You add the chutney, it's more. And then you add all these other things, and it becomes even more.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's like that, is that it is the origin of all. Rasa is there. The complete, full manifestation is there. Radha and Krishna. Everything's there. It's just that when it comes down, it takes on a different flavor. It takes on a different...
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound
yes.
Yeah.
It seems that the term Sanskrit word yoga here is used. It seems that there is a term yoga used on a transcendental platform and one more on a Shastric platform, because we know yoga means connecting with the Supreme.
Yes.
And you would think ayoga means you don't even know who Krishna is.
Yes.
Whereas here it's separation and union.
Yes. Because the point is, that's what it's for, is that means if you're working on the lower levels, then what are they connecting with? Let's say it's in liberation, then they're connecting with the Bhagavan, after understanding of the Lord,
yes.
Or they're not. So that would be yoga or not. Or let's say we're in the realm of karma, then it's going to be we're connecting because we're following the rules and getting the proper results because of that. Or we're not following, and so then we're separated from it. You know, or if you're talking about, you get down to, you know, artha niti, you follow the mechanics that gets to the result. So you're getting the result or you're not. You know, like this. So that, or the sense is touching the sense object or it's not touching the sense object. You know, so that at every moment, you know, you pick up the rasgulla and put it in your mouth and there's yoga, and then when you finish, then it's a yoga, so you have to pick up another one. So this way, back and forth between, that's how you say, the ecstasy of separation and union. Yes.
Well, actually, in the eastern part of the ocean, Rupa Goswami uses that term ayoga, in exact, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
like soul being separated from the Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There he uses the same term in that sense.
Yes. So it's just you're connected with or not. So it's always going to be Krishna, because the whole point is that there isn't anything that's not Krishna. And the soul can't actually taste dead matter, because what's the taste? So all that they're tasting is Krishna's, how he pervades everything. And so, but because they're only seeing it in the context, right? They work with it, they're covered. So therefore, by the external. Therefore, in their vision, they don't know it's the Lord they're tasting, they only see the covering. You know, like let's say Krishna is speed, but they only see the car. They don't actually understand that feeling is not coming from this car, it's coming from Krishna. It happens that the car has the qualification to be able to carry that potency. But, you know, you could get that off of so many things. Somebody doesn't even have a car. They just, you know, what is it, you know, jump off that high thing with those funny little suits that makes them look like one of those flying squirrels.
Yes.
You know.
I don't know how they call it.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so they'll be going very, very fast. You know. And so then you know, it's just a matter of what's there. It's just how the senses are. So it's your moving through the space. You could be on a horse. You know, you could be on anything. You get that feeling. Does that sound sense?
I mean, it puts, you know, when you think of the whole world of yoga today, put into perspective, it's just a big joke, you know. When people, you know, establish themselves as a yoga teacher.
Yes, yes.
A yoga center, you know. Just get rid of the word, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's the problem. They don't know what their yoga is with. So it's just called yoga. So yoga means, basically yoga means pretzel.
Yoga means money.
Well, that it depends upon if you're coming to the place, or it doesn't mean money. It's just a matter of whether you're losing or you're gaining.
Still yoga. A yoga and V-yoga.
Yes, yes. Yoga and V-yoga. See, yeah, yeah.
Little university.
Yes. So everything's Krishna. And so then, seeing that way, that's why I'll use the terminology. And we may become confused because we're not necessarily seeing in that way. But the principle is that it always has the same elements. It's not going to be anything. Everything's coming from Satchitananda. So you're going to get everything coming from that. There's not going to be something that's not coming from that. And so you see Krishna's moods, the how you say, Madan Mohan, Govinda Gopinath, then Radharani, those three moods, you know, her love for her, what the taste she has in serving, and then the service, you know, the taste she has, the love she has. Well, this makes up the same thing, you know, and then that makes up the Sankirtan mission. Tasting those three aspects of love creates the Jiva Doya, the Sankirtan, and the association of Vaishnavas, the Vaishnava Seva, and Namaruchi, the taste that is gained there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So always have, everything's coming out of. So that means is that when you're getting down into this, it'll all be coming down from the top. It's just that because the manifestation of it may be different, you give it different titles. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why we have to. One is we know these general places where these words are used, but also we can accommodate that they can be used in different contexts and they have different meanings. Because ultimately they go back to that basic fundamental principle, but we're seeing the difference because of the secondary attributes.
Yeah.
They may be transcendental, but the attributes that manifest in the gopis or in the cowherd boys or here the servants, it may be different, so then we think it's something completely different, but the principle is always going to be the same. So, yeah.
Like, the word kantitam in general means that having that zeal or enthusiasm or whatever fervor you call to meet for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is different, obviously, from those I've already met. And
Yes. Yes.
And then, in general, you can call that enthusiasm, but when we use the word purvara, it signifies more like rag means attachment, that intense attachment, and it has completely, it has like, you know, fructified. Now they like, they can meet. So it is the same word.
But with more intensity.
More intensity, right?
Yeah. That's the advantage of Sanskrit, you can't actually explain it.
Yeah.
Three, two, 100. Autsukya, impatience in Utkantitam from Krishna Karinamrita. O Lord, O protector of the unprotected, O ocean of mercy, how can I pass my unfortunate days without having seen you? Srila Jiva Goswami. Anatta means who has no other master. You are the protector of that person. Funny, because in Sanskrit, the anatta means he has no other master, so it's just focused on him.
Anatta.
But in the church, you become anatta. It means you've been kicked out. You know, it means you're bogus. Sanskrit works better.
Excommunicated.
Yeah, excommunicated.
Yeah.
3-2-101. Another example. O Krishna, you are an ocean of nectar for the eyes. Not having the pleasure of seeing your two lotus feet, I am disturbed and my mind cannot find any happiness. A moment seems like many years. Srila Prabhupada. In the Krishna Karinamrita, written by Bilba Mangal Thakur, there is this expression of eagerness and ecstatic love. How miserable it is, my dear Krishna, O friend of the hopeless. O merciful Lord, how can I pass these thankless days without seeing you? A similar sentiment was expressed by Uddhava when he wrote a letter to Krishna and said, my dear Supreme King of Braja, you are the vision of nectar for the eyes, and without seeing your lotus feet and the effulgence of your body, my mind is always morose. I cannot perceive any peace under any circumstance. Besides that, I am feeling every moment separation to be like a duration of many, many long years. So that's what he's saying. It's just the element of separation is the thing, and then you see as different levels can taste it at different. So everybody has that yoga, and I mean, you know, and the what do you call it? That it means the separation and to be togetherness there, mm-hmm. and or meeting. And so then you end up with the point is this, the taste in it in each level might be different, but still that principle is the same. That's why so many things can be discussed here, and you don't need to discuss less the basis of it when you, as you go up in the rasas, because you're introducing as they come up in these rasas. And then you just add something more. Because if you start the other way, then there's so much there you wouldn't catch. So then coming up this way, because we come from a position that we can relate to, that of the aspect of the rati or the shanta, just appreciation of the Lord. And then you take that further. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, at what point in the pastime is Uddhava separated from Krishna that he writes in the letter?
Whenever he goes to Indraprastha. Now, before he said whenever he goes to visit friends and relatives and all that.
Okay.
Because then, because Kunti's a relative, Subhadra's a relative, like that. And the Pandavas technically are relatives because they're cousins, because of Kunti. So when he goes out to do that, and when he goes there, you know, like he goes and meets Bahulasva and Shrutadev, right, so they'll be, you know, like this, and so. So, you know, we see it's quite often that he goes. He was there for Arjuna, you know, when it means they got married, and then I think it's a year later then that incident came up with the Brahmin, had his cows stolen. So then Arjuna then goes and, you know, defeats those dacoits and gets the cows back. And at the same time as then he goes on his pilgrimage. You know, depending upon where it's being discussed, it's 1 year or it's 12 years, like that. So it seems at different times it takes a different amount of time. So in any case, you know, these years he's going around, then they come to Dwarka, the rainy season, so 8 months to go around and 4 months in there. Then after that, then Arjuna marries Subhadra. Then after the marriage, they stay a few days. Then they go with their party, so Krishna and Balaram, everybody goes with them to Indraprastha. Then they stay for a little bit of time. Then after being there for, I'm not sure, a few weeks or a few months, then Balaram and all the Dwarkavasis leave and come back. Krishna stays. Then you have that whole kind of a forest pastime. You know, so then after that, he goes back. You know, the Maya Sabha has been made. Then at the Sabha, Narad comes and then talks about the Rajasuya. And so now they've made their plan. Now, you know, how to effect this. So they're wondering when Krishna will come back. You know, then the messenger from the kings, you know, the imprisoned kings of Jarasandha, then comes. And then at the same time as Narada comes, then talks about the Rajasuya, and then they figure out they can get both things done at once, you know. And so then he goes to Indraprastha again. So regularly he's coming and going.
Here's your 10th canto in 1 minute.
Yes.
Maharaj, this, the thing which we are discussing now, Khanditam, is the context when they never met Krishna directly at the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So this Uddhava's letter is when Uddhava was in Mathura, first time he wanted to meet Krishna, that's when he wrote that.
Okay.
Because now we are discussing next is Vyoga. At that time all those
buses. All those ones that we just mentioned now would be there. So there's always going to be, because the point is meeting is special because of separation. Separation is special because of meeting. So the two always go. So you see it's always written into the pastimes. Just like even in Vaikuntha, where he's God and everyone's there. But still, at night when he takes rest, you know, the palace is closed. You know, we close the temple. Everyone goes home. So there's going to be that aspect of separation. And then you know, so the Viyoga. And then in the morning, when it comes to dark, then they all come, and then they come and see the Lord, and then he goes for his bath. And, you know, then the whole day of festivities just goes on. But there'll always be. Dwarka, you see more. He's there with the queens. Then he goes to the hall. You know, then he'll come back. You know, and then the night, or then, so they'll be with there. So the other devotees, he sees at the hall, but then when he goes home, they don't see him. When he's at home, you know, then queens see him, and then when he leaves for the sabha, then they don't see him. Because there's always worked in. You know, it's not as it has as many breakdowns, but it has. But then in Braj, you see, then it's even more. You know, who he's with. He's sleeping at night, so then no one's with him. You know, like that. Then morning, then Mother Yashoda, then the cowherd boys come, the gopis come. But cowherd boys can hang out, but, you know, be careful. And the gopis, it has to be formal. Then Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys, so he's not with any of the others. Then he leaves the cowherd boys and goes with the gopis, and he's not with any of the others. So sometimes you see Sridham or might come, or Subal. Some of them, they might come along. But it's not, you know, standard, but they might. But then after that, then he's with the cowherd boys again. The gopis have gone. It's just cowherd boys. Then it's going to be, then the gopis see him going by, but then they can't interact, you know, other than looks and things like that, because the cowherd boys are there. And then they go back to Nanda Bhavan, right? And then so the gopis will be there, but the maidservants and others may go and take things, you know, the Radharani's cooked for Krishna for the evening and all that. And they'll take part and they'll bathe in and everything like that, because Mother Yashoda is arranging things like that. So then they'll have something with, and then when after they finish that, they'll go back. Then Krishna is then now just with, again, cowherd boys. Or basically more with the family. I mean, the cowherd boys have gone home. So unless somebody's staying, but otherwise, you know, then it's just going to be Krishna and Balaram and Nanda Baba and Yashoda and, you know, like that kind of the relatives. And then the maidservants will go back and, you know, tell what happened with Krishna. They'll be making their plans, associating there. Then everybody goes to sleep, and then the gopis go out and they're with Krishna. So there's always this, everybody has a time with, and everybody has a time without. And you generally see it's like Mother Yashoda is in that early morning, kind of, you could say it's from, you know, getting up until, you know, when he goes out with the cows, and the same time is in the evening when he comes back from the cows until he goes out with the gopis. So hers is kind of like that same time block, morning and evening, right? And then when he goes out, then he's with the cowherd boys, so, you know, he'll be with them in that before noon, and then in the afternoon. You know, so there's this closer together, but that opposite. Then the gopis, that time in the middle of the day, and then the middle of the night. So
they have a roster?
Yeah, they have a roster. They have to go, oh, crump. You know, like that. Yeah, it's just, that's the way it is. The pastimes that always, I mean, there's variations within this, but that's the main thing, because if you have that way everybody's with Krishna and not with Krishna. And then this time where everybody's together with Krishna. They like when he's going to go out or when he's coming back, then everybody can be there.
Mm.
You know. But then it'll have its own flavor. That intensity of all the Brajbasis together in one place at one time. But at the same time, it doesn't have the specifics of the particular rasa. But Krishna can interact with each of them in their rasa. You know, so Rupa Goswami explains when he comes, and then how he's so expert, and then, you know, he looks at the gopis, and then this with the cowherd boys, and this Mother Yashoda, and this one with this one, and that's all just glances, looks, and all that. He does all that.
In the Ananda Vrindavan Chambu, there's one instance, it's after the Kaliya Lila, because it took so much endeavor, and everybody came down to the bank of the river.
Mm.
And he took so much endeavor and so much time to work everything out and Shastra's career, and it's getting late, so Krishna suggests we just all sit here for a while and have something to eat.
Oh.
And Kavi Karnapur describes how Krishna forms different service, because this is during the time of Purva Rag, he hasn't yet come into contact directly with the gopis, so he formed different circles of different bridge passes, and they all sit together. And when I read this, I said, wow, I thought only the governor's lila, that Krishna gets to be with everybody, but this is one pastime when they are all together.
All together, yeah.
Everyone is there.
Yeah.
But like you said, he looks at the gopis in one way, he looks at the cowboy in another way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's like that thing at the Govardhan. Then he looks at Radharani and then he starts to shake. So then they think, he can't hold up the hill. So everyone starts, all the coward boys and men put up their sticks and stuff like that. So, you know, so amongst the gopis, they know what happened. But amongst everyone else, then their rasa comes out. You know, I'm a frahel, let me help Krishna. Or we're parents, we should do something.
And Yashoda comes and whispers, he's here, you got to eat something, man. You don't have a last time.
I'm going to run out of energy. So she's feeding him while he's holding up the hill. That is so far out. That is so far out. Yeah, so it's just so perfectly arranged that all the rasas in their natural position. That's why then someone follows the path of that affection, because it has a specific path. And these paths have places where they come together and go apart or run alongside each other, like that. But the path is very specific. So it's not because of a rule. It's the path is establishing the rule. It means you study, observe it, then you see what the rules are. Like that. And because, unless you're on that path, like Rupa Goswami can say all these things, but he's taking from all the Shastras. But these Shastras have been there. Who's explained it like this? No, because he sees, he knows the path. Therefore, he can explain it. But he'll quote from Shastra, because that's the etiquette.
This is an interesting point when you talk about rules in rasas. They're natural rules.
Yes.
So, in your mind, you have the picture of rules means restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, you have spontaneity.
Yes.
With no rules.
Yes. But it's no rules because you naturally do what you should do. That's the difference. You either follow the rules because you don't know what to do, so therefore you have to do this.
Right.
Or you're doing what's the purpose of the rules, so in that way you're following the rules. So in either case, externally it looks the same. So the Uttamadikari, who's on the spontaneous platform, performing the activities of Madhyama, well, look, the activities are the same as someone who's a madhyama or a neophyte acting as a madhyama. The form is the same. That's the whole point, is that within the Sampratana mission, the form for all the three levels is the same. It's just, what is your experience? That's what's different. Is that, you know, it's just like let's say we take some very fine pastry. You know, something very nice, very well done. Now we feed this to a bull, right? It'll eat it, it'll be happy. But you could have given it some grass and it would have been just as happy. It really doesn't make any difference to them. Cows maybe, but not bulls. Bull is that one taste. Now let's say we give that to a kid. He'll eat it. It'll be nice. He'll get more kind of taste out of it than, you know, the bull will.
Or more all over the face than inside the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. That's it. But now let's say you give it to someone who appreciates fine taste. Right? What would you call that person?
A connoisseur.
Yes. So I'm not even going to attempt to say it. Connoisseur.
Connaître means to know. Connoisseur means someone who knows. That's all.
Connoisseur means to know.
Connoisseur.
Yes. The sur means to know.
To connaître.
Connect. Because like you have the suras, they're the ones that are connected. They know the Lord, are connected to the Lord.
Connaître means I know.
Connaître.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what he'll get out of it will be even more. So that's the whole point, is that the things are there, is that the finities, the subtleties, like you see, is that when Prabhupada's talking, like a lot of times Rupa Goswami will just mention so this devotee, and then Prabhupada in the purport will mention the name of the devotee. You know, or you'll see is that they bring out the one point, but then, you know, about the deer. So the deer has the name Krishna, but it's also black, but it also has black eyes. So Prabhupada brings out these other aspects about the eyes. The other one it just said, but you know from other things that the black eyes of the deer, you know, then. So?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you just see is that how much is appreciated and all that. So then, sons, that you know, that's you know, churning these. Yes.
Once we were sitting at the Govardhan Palace with all the senior devotees, and everybody was taking prasad. So one devotee turned to the other and said, "Actually, if you want to know who is Rasik, you watch them eating."
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, wow, this is rasa.
Okay.
And then he mentioned that if somebody experienced one taste, the taste of a full stomach, he's not a rasik. But those who actually experience all the variety of tastes, those are rasik. So even by, you know, simple observation, you can understand what is the nature of the person.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on food.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so therefore,
connoisseur.
Yes, and also the Bhrigu Vali, the Taittiriya Upanishad, Ahamanna Mahamanna Mahamanna. I am food. I am food. I think. Yeah. That's all right. So today, Prabhupada was talking, and in lecture 73. On the Gita, then he's bringing up the points of the levels, because you have the levels of consciousness, but you have the levels of knowledge. Yeah. He specifically went through them, pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha,
yeah.
Adhoksaja, and aprakrita.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you call those levels of knowledge.
Yeah.
Means, you know, what is that level of knowledge and how you gain that knowledge.
Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that in the notes on the Bhagavatam. We read the other day.
Yes.
It's the same.
What I'm meaning is, Prabhupada's mentioned all these things, just no one catches
it. Yeah, we don't pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of every lecture, in the lecture, you know, Prabhupada always says, "Thank you very much." Everybody goes, "Jai Prabhupada."
It's actually you can feel the mood, whether it's just before prasadam or it's a long time before prasadam.
So, that's right. Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing, taking the shot. This is our movement. The shot is a very integral part.
It's a udipan for any activity.
Yes.
I was thinking also that the separation and union. Actually, if we pay attention to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the first part when Narad Muni travels,
right.
Most of the discussions are based on that, how much time we spend with the Lord, mm-hmm. and how much time we are separated. So that makes the difference in the realm.
Yeah, also...
Between the devotees, the realm is a second
part. Yeah, and then, but it's also interesting is that the devotee on this level saying, oh, but he's so fortunate. He talks about how he's being with the Lord. And then when you get there, Narada gets there, then they talk about, oh, yeah, he was a moment, but then there's...
Yeah.
You know, there's always that one that says, no, but Lord, you know, Vishnu always lives with Brahma. And then Brahma said, no, he just comes down for, you know, into the Sabha for this and that. But, you know, generally he stays at his own place, you know, so... Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, from attachment to that plan.
Then what Gopi Kumar experienced, he said that he was suffering everywhere because he couldn't see the Lord, for example, at night or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said he left, I think, Mahakalapura because of that, before he saw the Lord, because he explained, Sanatana Goswami, that if he saw the Lord, he wouldn't be able to live. Because as soon as he saw the Lord, all his sufferings disappeared.
Yes.
So he had to live before that.
Mm.
he was postponing his leaving all the time, because whenever he saw the Lord, he would be in ecstasy.
But that's true. The other places also, like in Puri, when he came to Kima, he goes to see the deity, then he left out, then something would come up.
But that was already when he went, you know, to Vaikuntha Duta's came, Shiva. Yes. So it was really up to very high levels.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you translate the thing, you remember much more.
Oh, you translate.
That's Priyanka.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Pay attention to details.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. That's why I said if you teach, then it's,
yeah,
you retain 90%.
You translate the Prabhupada also? Mm-hmm.
So, you need a copy of the Russian translation?
No, we didn't say
815 pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if we look at the devotees, the most educated people in our movement, those are the translators.
Yeah, generally they're always the ones that know.
Sachinandan Swami, all of
them. Yeah, yeah. Anywhere you go.
Bhaktivedanta Maharaj.
Yeah, yeah. Or in Hungary, that Manjari.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. Or
Dhanuswami?
Yeah, Dhanuswami.
Jadvaita Maharaj.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about the Chinese also?
Yes, please, please, please. You can tell us about the Taiwan, Beijing, Rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on. So footnote, do we read footnote 26?
No.
Okay, that was, besides that, I'm feeling every moment separation to be like the duration of many, many long years. Footnote 26. All these inauspicious days and nights are not passing, for I have not met you. It is difficult to know how to pass all this time. But you are the friend of the helpless and an ocean of mercy. Kindly give me your audience, for I am in a precarious position. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mandalika 259. That's what we're saying. The principle will be the same. The intensity may be different. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a secret letter written by Uddhava in Mathura to Krishna in Braja. Instead of Vishu Bhyata, disturbed, modifying my, sometimes Vishu Bhatrit, disturbed mind, is seen. Okay, so this is while Krishna is still in, before he's come to Mathura. Okay. 32102. An example of dānya, lowliness, is in Ukantita, right? So then we had, where's the list? Because that's the Vedic, the faith thing. You give a list that shows what this is the content, then you start to, depending on what it is, give the general, knowledge of that, then you get into the details. Mm-hmm. So you see, Rupa Goswami does this very standard thing. Sometimes in the Western, the difficulty comes up is that they take it that it's just repeating, so they like to get rid of it, but then you don't understand what's going on.
It's good impatience.
Yeah, but where is that? Where all those list of all those
2 pages before? Well, 52 only.
Hmm?
In page number 52 at the top.
Oh, it's right at the top of the page. No wonder I couldn't find it. I was looking at the page before, it's right at the top, yeah. That's why Shastra's revealed. It's not that you can buy your own intelligence, okay. So, Avsukya, then we've just done that. So then, now, Dainyam. Okay, thinking oneself unqualified or loneliness. In Ukantito. O Lord, O ocean of mercy, with my hand folded over my head, I am praying in a humble mood with crying voice, you should sprinkle me with a particle of your generous glance. Srila Prabhupada. In the Krishna Karinamrita, it is also said, my dear Lord, you are the ocean of mercy. With my arms placed on my head, I am bowing down before you with all humility and sincerity. I am praying unto you, my Lord. Would you be pleased just to sprinkle a little of the water of your glance upon me? That will be a great satisfaction. 32103. Another example. O slayer of Aga, even Shiva cannot see you. But I am more insignificant than an insect and full of sinful acts. Though I am unqualified for prayer, I am still praying. O friend of the fallen, that you bathe me. Though I am unqualified, I am still praying, O friend of the fallen, that you bathe me with your glance. Srila Prabhupada. The devotee of Lord Krishna said, even when Shashi Shekhar, Lord Shiva, is unable to see you, what chance is there for me, who am lower than an ordinary worm? I have only committed misdeeds. I know that I am not at all fit to offer my prayers to you, but because you are known as Dinabandhu, the friend of the fallen, I humbly pray that you will kindly purify me by the beams of your transcendental glance. If I become thoroughly bathed by your merciful glance, then I may be saved. Therefore, my Lord, I am requesting you to bestow, please bestow upon me your merciful glance. So they're feeling unqualified, but they still have that desire to see the Lord. So it has that. Now, chapter 38. Indifference and separation. Okay, indifference, that's the next one, no? Nirvedas, that was, Dainya thing of Nirvedas, of, let's see. 32104. Nirveda, self-deprecation, in utkantitam. Though my eyes are praised because of seeing so many scriptures, they are unfortunate because they do not see the wealth of sweetness in the form of effulgence coming from the toenails of your lotus feet. Let those eyes be destroyed. Because the one is just you feel unqualified, but here you're actually, you know, upset. You just think it's useless. Srila Prabhupada. The great devotee Uddhava once wrote a letter to Krishna. My dear Krishna, I have just finished the study of all kinds of philosophical books and Vedic verses about the goal of life. So now I have a little reputation for my studies. But still, in spite of my reputation, my knowledge is condemned. Because although enjoying the effulgence of Vedic knowledge, I could not appreciate the effulgence emanating from the nails of your toes. Therefore, the sooner my pride and Vedic knowledge are finished, the better it will be. This is an example of indifference. Okay, so indifference, self-deprecation, so that's all part of your Veda. And that's self-deprecation, what did he use called here?
Self-disgust.
Yeah, self-disgust. Self-disgust, self-deprecation, and indifference. So these have all happened. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is also a message from Uddhava to Krishna. The toenails are like the tips of the lotus. Shruti nishe vaya can mean eyes extending to the ears. Shruti. That's far out.
Can you say that again, Mark?
Shruti nishe vaya.
Eyes extending to the ears.
Yeah, because the ears hear. So that's shruti.
Yeah.
So just, you know, in other words, eyes extending to the place of hearing.
Not in terms of lotus eyes.
Yeah, meaning that. He's a lotus eyes. They extend. Because kapha eyes are very big. So they go way back. So people say, oh, that's not... The kapha eyes are very big. Like that. Sometimes you see them now and again. You see here and there.
Yeah.
Seem like I remember this one. Remember it was in, what do you call it? Where were we? Kazakhstan? And there was one girl there, huge eyes.
Round faces also.
Yeah, really big eyes. The governor said, these eyes are really big. Yeah, so you have like that, I can't remember. Yeah, it's a couple of actors that have eyes like that. Really big. So it's just, you have something. So there's the thing, it's not just, oh, poetry, it goes back to the eye. It actually goes way back. You see, like those old paintings and that, the Rajasthani paintings and those things.
Yeah,
that's, or the arms down to the knees, that's not just poetics, they actually, the arms are that long. Like that.
Also the standard beautification of woman, they always extend whatever is there.
Yeah, they make it look. Yeah, some is more, some is less. Yeah, or even just a single line. But some of them actually put two lines. Like that. And then fill it in. I think if you fill it in with a light color, like a white or a cream, you can get actually the Barbie look. Just in case you wanted to know. In other words, it means very long, beautiful eyes, or it can mean eyes which have seen many scriptures. Abhavani means destruction. So his whole point is that however it is, he may have these wonderful eyes, or he sees Krishna's wonderful eyes, or reads about, or wants to see, or his eyes, you know, like this. They all work. That's the point. When you have so many meanings, they're all correct. So you just have to see the principle behind it. So the principle behind this is this indifference and separation. Then you see they all match. So there's never the acharyas never contradict each other. They're always bringing out various aspects of the same. 3.2.105. An example of chinta, pondering, in Utkantitam. I spend my nights expelling sighs of grief with bowed head, thinking myself unqualified for seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, though I have such a longing to see them. Srila Prabhupada. Another devotee very anxiously expressed himself thus: my mind is very flickering, so I cannot concentrate it upon your lotus feet. And seeing this inefficiency in myself, I become ashamed. And the whole night I am unable to sleep because I am exasperated by my great inability. So he's so focused on not being able to see the Lord that he's always absorbed in not being able to see the Lord. So he's absorbed in the Lord, but it's from that position of pondering, but in Utkantitam. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the solitary lamentation of some devotee. Hari Hari is an exclamation of grief. I spend my nights in intense contemplation, thinking in resignation that since I am so disqualified, I will have to remain as such, unfortunately. However, he describes himself as still being thirsty for seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, he hangs his head in hopelessness. The genitive case is used for the speaker to show his lack of respect for himself.
The same was Hari Hari before it, and exactly describes that.
Okay. The same. Yeah, so you see it has this combination. So this indifference to self-deprecation, you're seeing yourself as unqualified. You know, and then you're upset about it. So you can see this natural progressions. But, you know, this one's clear enough, but there'll be ones in between that you just connect them back to the main one. 3.2.106. An example of chapalam, insolence, in Ukantita from Krishna Karinamrita. You know that your sweet youth astonishes all three worlds. Thus you and I can understand my insolence arising from my desire to see you. Give me some instruction. What should I do to see your rare lotus face with the attractive flute? Srila Prabhupada. In the Krishna Karinamrita, Bilva Mangal Thakur has explained his restlessness as follows. My Lord, your naughtiness in boyhood is the most wonderful thing in the three worlds. And you yourself know what this naughtiness is. As such, you can very easily understand my flickering mind. This is known to you and me. Therefore, I am simply yearning to know how I can fix my mind on your lotus feet. Srila Jiva Goswami. Viralam, rare, indicates his face can be seen by some very few fortunate souls. Yeah, so that just that boldness. Sometimes you see the acharyas say, "I'm unqualified, but still I'm mastering." vis-a-vis that aspect. 32107, another example of Chapalam. O destroyer of Agha, O Lord, I have given up shyness and become fearless of devotees. With thirsty heart, not considering my insignificant position, I desire, like a bee, to taste constantly your lotus feet. Right, so it wouldn't be insolence if you are qualified. Right, it'd just be that hankering. But this hankering with disqualification, that creates the insolence. Because even though you're unqualified, you still are hankering. It means that they're not actually unqualified, but they see themselves that way. So it has these two together, then you get a flavor. Because sometimes when you combine things, two flavors, the what it produces, you've given another name. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. 32108. An example of Jarata, inability to make decisions, in Utkantitam from the seventh canto. From the very beginning of his childhood, Palad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.37. Srila Prabhupada. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, verse 37, the great sage Narada informs Maharaj Yudhishthira about Prahlad Maharaj, who was a devotee from the very beginning of his life. The proof of Prahlad's natural devotion is that even when he was a small child, he did not play with his playmates, but was always eager to preach the glories of the Lord. Instead of joining in their sport of acrobatic feats, he remained an inactive child because he was always in trance, meditating on Krishna. As such, there was no possibility of his being touched by the external world. Okay, and Srila Jiva Goswami. Because his mind was always thinking of Krishna, manastaya, he was not interested in childhood play, okay, tasting a higher taste and giving up a lower. Because of that, he became as if dull and unconscious. After that, being completely absorbed in Krishna, Krishna granta grihi tatma, he did not see the rest of the world as he did not see as the rest of the world sees. Na veda jagad idrisham, he saw it only as a manifestation of Krishna. Right, so because he's seeing everything connected to Krishna, he's not worried about any of these other things. So he's not making decisions based on what you should do and all that, with the rules, the regulations, the niti, all these different things. So he's just seeing it all as Krishna, so he's not unable to make any decision about doing it. So, yeah.
How many years did Krishna stay in Mathura before he shifted to Dwarka?
That I'm not sure. But you do know he was there a while, because Jarasandha would come every year, and he came for 17
I
years.
I heard someone said 30 years.
I think 18 years. Altogether.
Because I think after the Jarasandha they left, right. And so then there would have been something, there would have been some time before that when they first came and getting everything regulated, yeah, and all that. But I would say 18 sounds more.
Yeah, Vijnana Maharaj once mentioned, but I just forgot, that at each place, historically, how many years he stayed.
Yeah.
Out of 125.
Yeah.
Out of 125 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see there, the national will be Dwarka. Because that's where the most work has to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Prabhupada.